So what are the standards? You are familiar now with one set of standards, the National Educational Technology Standards, and you know, you've been taught that there were two types, and we'll come back to what those are. But there are other types of standards as well. So standards themselves, that's a broad term that is the broadest description of what students should know and be able to do. And when you read over what those six standards were for students, or however many, what, about eight for teachers, nine for teachers, then what you identify is that those are pretty general concepts. And so a standard tells you what should you know and be able to do. They're developed by official bodies, just like, is it Corrine?
Karina
asked, who develops them? Official bodies like the International Society for Technology Educators. So the ones that that you looked at online are also available in book form, and I don't have that, but there are other examples as well. This one is the National Council for the Social Studies Standards. So when you take my social studies class or somebody else's social studies class, you're probably going to be required to read this book so you know what students should know and be able to do in social studies. This one, which you probably won't be exposed to because this is more, because we required it more in secondary, this is the National Council for Geography Education. So if you're a geography teacher, nationally, this is what we think all students should know in terms of geography. This one, I'm sure you will know in your math class. You'll take this one, which is the National Council for Teacher of Mathematics, and it's their standards that came out in the late 90s. All of these came out at that time, about that time, to help guide us as professional educators in what we as a nation believe is really important for our students to know and be able to do. So they set uniformity across the nation. Know, though, that in the United States, education is not nationally mandated. We decide on how we want to educate it in the state level. So these are simply recommendations. The NEST standards include subject matter benchmarks by grade. And so the subject matter for NETS is technology. The subject matter for the NCTM standards is mathematics. NCSS is social studies. So they do it by content area, and they first say what the content standards are, what you should be able to know, generally, a big goal. And then they come down and tell you your performance standards. How are you going to say that you know that or not? And so you'll remember that you looked at those big six standards for the students, and then we broke them out into performance indicators that you read about last time, correct? So again, their standards are first developed, or have been first developed, at the national level. And they're very, very broad, and they are simply recommendations. States then look at those national recommendations and say, you know, these are pretty good, but I think in our state it might be a little more important to address this issue. Or maybe this issue isn't so important. So states slightly modify those or accept them as they are and create their own standards. As professional educators, this is what you're legally responsible for. You need to know what your state standards are, which you can pretty much be rest assured are going to be very similar to the national standards. Here at the university, we tend not to teach so much about the state standards because we're training you so you can be a teacher in any state. So we don't want to bind you to just the Nevada standards. Then what will happen is you'll get your local standards, which tend to not be called local standards. They tend to be called curriculum guides. And so I say it's usually in the form of a curricular guide, and that is what drives your daily instruction. Now, today I'm going to introduce you to the Curriculum Essentials Framework, and you're going to be expected to know it. This is, if you've been in a CCSD elementary class, you've probably seen something that looks like this. This is the CES, or the Curricular Essential Framework, and what it does is it separates it by grade level and by subject area. So if you want to know what fourth graders are going to learn in math, then you go to the fourth grade section, and you would go to math, and this is my copy, so it has a lot more tabs in it than you would normally have, and then you would see, first of all, the Nevada content standards, what they expect you to know, and those are designated with like a 1.0, 3.0, 4.0. And then after you leave that section, you're going to get into the actual objectives. And the objectives are, what are you going to actually teach in a day? So for example, one of the Nevada standards for mathematics in fourth grade would be to solve problems, communicate communicate, reason, and make connections within and beyond the field of mathematics. Students will accurately calculate and use estimation techniques, number relationships, operation rules, and algorithms. They will determine the reasonableness of answers and the accuracy of solutions. So you think you can teach that today in your class? This is something in bite size. B. This is the very first one under numbers, number sense, and computation. It says students will be able to, expected to, read, write, order, and compare numbers from zero to almost a million. Is that something that you could do in a lesson? Yeah, I could teach them to read it one day. I could teach them to write it one day. I could teach them how to put them in order and how to compare those numbers. So this is really what you're going to be teaching, is what's in the curriculum guide. I'm going to go ahead and pass this around, and I'm going to show it to you thing in just a few moments. So these curriculum guides that you get wherever you end up teaching, again, this one's Clark County School District, is what is going to drive your daily instruction. So what are the National Educational Technology Standards then? We've talked about, we have these standards, we have them at the national level, then at the state level, and then we have at the local level our curriculum guides. So what are the NETs then? It's one set of standards. This set happens to be in terms of technology. And within that set of standards, there are three separate ones. And you read about two of them. There are standards for students. What that means is as a teacher, you are expected that you are going to teach your students between grades K and 2, or whatever the performance indicators were that you saw, you need to teach your students those concepts. The teacher ones are really for me. And they're saying, as a teacher educator, when students leave your classroom, so once they graduate from college or once they take a master's program in technology education, they should be able to do these things. So what it's telling me is you should feel competent using the internet. You should feel competent using different communication tools like email and programs like WebCampus. You should feel competent being able to use general application tools or productivity tools like Microsoft Word. So that's really a rule for me, but those are things that you should be able to do when you leave this program. And the third one is for administrators, and that's more productivity stuff, and we won't deal with that at all at the undergraduate level. What's interesting about the NETS standards is they are the only standards that deal with all curricula or all subject areas. So it's all grades that it affects, K through 12, and actually through higher education, and it is all subject areas. So when I'm teaching my social studies class, I don't need to think about, it'd be nice to, but I don't have to think about my math science standards or my language arts standards. But I do have to think about my social studies standards, and I do have to think about my NETS standards. When I'm teaching math, I don't have to worry about my science standards, though it might be nice. But I do have to make sure that I'm integrating those technology standards within them. So the technology standards integrate across all of the curricula that you're going to teach. So let's look just at each of the different standards. You saw these last night. There are the six for students. Basically, they need to know how to use the computer, very easy stuff. They also need to understand what safety issues are involved, how to communicate with other people, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. They need to know how to problem solve. They need to know how to go and research appropriately so that they can get adequate answers. They need to be able to produce things, like they need to be able to write a paper or to create some type of a PowerPoint presentation to communicate. And they need to communicate using email, using a telephone, using older technologies as well. Teachers then need to do things similar to students. You have to be able to use the tools for productivity, just like they do. But you also have additional things that you need to do, and that's that you need to be able to use it for instruction and assessment as well. So you have to be able to assess your students and evaluate them using technology. You need to be able to teach and help them to learn using technology, and you need to involve your curriculum in the technology. So you need to know all that they know, but then some more too. So when I'm using, some of these terms might be new to you, and I want to make sure that we have a basic understanding as we go through the course. And one term that I've been using a lot today is curriculum. And curriculum is the content of the instructional program. That's according to the Georgia Department of Education. And so what that is basically saying is that there are these intended learning outcomes. Excuse me, certain things that you need to learn. And I talked about goals and objectives. So there are these broad things that students need to learn, this what is the content, what is the curriculum, and how, what are the little minute things that we also need to teach them. That all falls under curriculum. It also, your curriculum tells you how deep you need to teach it. Do I need to, like, imagine these two objectives. One objective would say, students can define the Industrial Revolution. So maybe they can tell you when it is, what it basically was, versus students can identify the causes of the Industrial Revolution. That's a very different objective that's much deeper, and that goes to your scope and of content, which is your depth and the breadth, how much you need to teach about each thing. That falls within your curriculum. Next is the sequence, the organization, and all this falls within your curriculum. You'd have to download that from our class website.
Okay.
And that's okay, you can look at it afterwards too. So when it comes down to it, and the question is, what is curriculum? How we're gonna define it in this class is curriculum is what you teach, it's the what. And it's the content that the teacher will execute. So when you leave this class, there are certain things that you need to know, and that what you need to know stuff is curriculum. Instruction then isn't the what you need to know, it's the how you teach it stuff. And so Gagne, who is probably the leader in instructional design throughout the history of education, he defines instruction as a deliberately arranged set of external events designed to support internal learning processes. What that is a lot of big words to say, I'm gonna do something so that you're gonna learn something. So I'm gonna set up events in my class, I'm gonna set up opportunities in my class for you to learn. And those events of instruction, what are those things that I'm going to do so that you can learn? He defines as events that are considered, chosen, and represented in the communications and other stimulation offered to the learner intended to bring rapid obstacle-free learning. So what that means is, as a teacher, it is my job to instruct you. And the way that I'm going to instruct you is I'm going to have little things that I'm going to do, little events that I'm going to do. Each of those little events is intended to help you learn something without causing you hang-ups and confusion. And each of those things is supposed to be communicating information to you or creating stimulation in you so that you will find it yourself. So for instance, right now, I'm using a lecture method. So I'm telling you things. That is my event of instruction. Some of you, however, are looking at the slides also online. So you're getting the visual that way, or you're getting the visual up here. So to get this content across, I'm using several different modes of events of instruction. I'm also recording it so that you can go and look back at it, listen to it again later, if that's something that would help you. So instruction then is an action or process. It's what you as the teacher are going to do to your students, for your students, or with your students. It is interactive. Now that doesn't mean that I'm going to be doing stuff with the students all the time, but in teaching and learning, there is an interaction. In the case that I'm talking right now, you are listening. In the case that you are working on the computer, I might be next to you guiding you, making sure that you're doing it correctly or helping you out. So there is some type of an interaction. There's got to be, the student's brain needs to be engaged, or their hands, they need to be engaged in some way for it to actually be instruction. And this is what we call teaching. It's not the what, but it's the way that I choose to deliver content, or you choose to deliver content to your students. So curriculum then is the what do you teach, and instruction is the how do you teach. So if we want to look at the interaction between these three terms, first of all, we have the standards that came from the national level. Those then informed our curriculum. So we have these books like the NETS, or the National Council for Teachers of Mathematics Standards. They then say, okay, this is what we overall think you should learn. Then we have our curriculum. This is what you're going to do today so that you can teach these things. And that is the curriculum, then would be example of the curriculum guide I'm passing around from CCSD. Then we've got instruction. We've got the what you're going to teach and how you're going to teach. And there is an interaction between these two. I have to make sure that I'm teaching the curriculum, but to get the curriculum across, that content, I've got to find a way to do it. Okay, so that is the interaction. We'll come back to this later in the term. So if we want to know what fourth graders are supposed to learn in math, we can look at that big book that's going around, or you can go online and find it. And I placed it online in our course website. So if you go to our course website, and you do not need to do this now, I'd rather that you watched, and you click on links, then you'll see that there's a lot of helpful links that I mentioned last week in class. The second one on there is the Clark County School District Curriculum Essentials Framework. I use CCSD not only because it's here in the Las Vegas Valley, and I know a lot of you are going to end up teaching here, but also because it's the fifth largest district in the nation, and they sell these curriculum guides to other school districts. So this is really a high-quality curriculum guide that you're going to be seeing. Now, unfortunately, we can't get direct access to it, so we're kind of going a roundabout way. This is one of the schools in Clark County School District, and if you go down to the bottom, you'll see down here CES for grades K, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in PDF format. So if I want to know what fourth graders learn in math in Clark County School District, I'm going to click on this number 4. And what it's going to do is download for me the fourth grade standard or fourth grade curriculum guide for Clark County School District. And you're going to be expected to go in and look at these things, and you're going to be expected to identify objectives. One of the assignments I'm going to be giving you in several weeks is to write a lesson, or actually probably later this week or next week, you're going to write a lesson plan. When you write a lesson plan, I don't expect you to know what third graders need to learn in English. I don't expect you to be able to write an objective. What I do expect you to do is be able to access a curriculum guide, this one, or if you're planning on being in another state, talk to me and I'll let you use that instead, and find the objectives. Remember that at the beginning, what it starts out with are the standards. And then it goes into these sections where you have the numbers, and that is the actual objective. So if we want to know about math, we're going to scroll down. And we're still in writing, reading, and eventually we're going to get to math. Here we are. So it starts out again with the standards. You are not going to be using the standards for the state. You're going to be using the objectives. And remember I said that for 1.1 was read, write, order, and compare numbers. There it is. So that's one of the things that you're going to teach if you're a fourth grade teacher here in the state of Nevada, and probably anywhere you go. Any questions about that, accessing those? Okay. So how do we translate these standards into practice? Well, what you need to do is you need to compare the documents that you have. So let's start with the NETS. And one of the things that it says in the NETS, if we look at NETS 3A, it says that you as a teacher are going to design developmentally appropriate learning opportunities that apply technology-enhanced instructional strategies to support the diverse needs of learners. A lot of words to say, you're going to create instructional opportunities, so those events of instruction like Gagne said, you're going to create these instructional opportunities so students can learn using technology that also recognizes that students are different, that some might have special needs, some might have limited English, some might be from different cultural backgrounds. So to appreciate that, you're going to use technology and you're going to recognize that they're different. So that's one thing we know we have to do. We also know from our curriculum guide, the CCSD CES in fourth grade 1.15, it says that students are going to evaluate the causes and of issues and problems. So one of the things that you have to teach in fourth grade is how students will evaluate the causes of issues and problems. Okay? So how can we do that using technology? What might be some examples? What might be a problem that students might want to learn about?
Terrorism.
Okay, terrorism. So how might you use technology to teach them about that?
You can search tool on the internet for, you know, different countries as far as terrorism and what's happened in different countries besides their own.
And that's an excellent example. Of course, we probably wouldn't use that in elementary because
the
graphic nature of the topic, but you're absolutely right. You're going to use the internet maybe to do some research. Another issue, one that is very close, near, dear to home, is a few years ago, not a few years ago, last year, Katrina came through, and not just in our area, but throughout the nation. It became important to us to understand what happened. There was this problem, there was a flood, what caused it? What does that look like? Well, we can tell students what a flood looks like, but what if I take a satellite picture that I just downloaded 3 days after the Katrina incident, or 2 days after it, and I show them this is what it looked like before Katrina came through. And then I show them that the next graphic is what it looked like after Katrina came through. And mine's going painfully slow today. Okay? Right? Or I show them that this is what Biloxi, Mississippi looked like before. And the next one shows how it looked. Whoops. Sorry. This is before, and this is after. And then I could have them go in and actually compare those satellite pictures. What's different? Why is it different? Okay. And then this is what it looks like on the ground. And this would, of course, I wouldn't do this in younger grades, but in upper grades, I'd share this. So letting them see what Katrina looks like is very different for a student who lives here in Nevada and really doesn't know what a hurricane is. This really helps them understand it a little bit better. So I'm using the technology. I'm recognizing that there are students who are visual learners that aren't going to learn it auditorily, and I'm giving them that opportunity. Okay, so how would I do that? Let's take again the same standard, NETS 3A, and let's take a different objectives. This one is, I think, from social studies in first grade. And it says, recognize that people from many different cultures settled in the United States. So the first thing that I'm probably going to do is I want to go find some information and decide what I'm going to do. There's a lesson maybe, if I want to introduce students to the fact that people from all over the world settled in the United States, maybe a central theme would be American history, maybe thinking about the Statue of Liberty and people crossing over the Atlantic, maybe looking at the 1800s crossing the Atlantic. So what I can do is I can just go online and I'm going to use a browser. Browser means, a browser is a software, a program, or an application that allows you to go on the internet and surf. So when I say browser, that's what I'm talking about. And there are many different types of browsers. If you're on a Macintosh, there's Safari. If you are on, or on any of the machines, you can use Netscape. Many of you probably use what's called IE, or Internet Explorer, which is the Microsoft product. My favorite, though, is Firefox. And let's close that up. And so I'm in Firefox right now. So if I want to go find some information about the Statue of Liberty or about American history, what I can do is I can just type in a search engine name. So in this case, I'm going to use Google, which is my favorite. So you're just going to type in www.google.com. And I'm putting it, for those of you who are not really familiar, up in this section up here, which is where you put your URL. And we'll talk about universal resource locators later. But pretty much that's where you put in the address. This takes me to Google. And let's say I want to do a lesson plan on American history. All I have to do is type in what I want and hit return. And notice that I didn't have to capitalize it. I didn't have to use quotes or anything like you used to have to do. And if I look down, there's a lot of different lesson plans that have to do with American history. I know, though, that school.discovery.com, who does the Discovery Channel, is a really credible source. So I'm going to click on that one. And let's see, grades K to 5 and Symbols of America. Let's see how that would work. And look, right there, it's got the Symbols of America with the Statue of Liberty. So I could read through this and see if this is a lesson plan that might work out for me. Okay, it looks like it might be pretty good. If I'm going to be teaching about it, though, it might be helpful for me to also show pictures of the Statue of Liberty. So I can go back to Google, and I can just type in, let's see if I want to find a picture of the Statue of Liberty. Oops, Statue of Liberty. And I can hit search again. And it's going to come up with lots of information about the Statue of Liberty. But if instead I click on images, it's going to show me pictures of it. If I click on a picture that I want, it'll give me an option of seeing the full size image, which you do want to see when you download. And then I can either right click on it on a PC and save it, or on a Mac, save the image as. I can go up to my file, save page as, or on a Mac, I can just click on the graphic and drag, lemon, sorry. I can click and drag it over to my desktop, and now I can open it over on my desktop. I have that graphic now available for me to use. And we'll talk about digital copyright later. Some other things that I might want to do. Notice that I also have this little thing up here that says Google. I have access to my search engines up in this section as well. So I don't always have to go to www.google.com. I can just go up here. So what if I want to play a song? What I could do is maybe I want to have America the Beautiful. But if I just do a regular search like that, I'm not sure I'm going to get exactly what I want. I know that songs are in a certain format, and that format is .mp3. So I hit return, and then I'm going to get lots of information about where I can find that song. Here's one on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is the internet encyclopedia, so I'm going to click on that one. And if I look down at the bottom, it has all the lyrics for me, and then it actually will link directly to an MP3 of the song. If I want to download that so I can use it, I can say File, Save Page As, and notice that it's going to save it in that .mp3 format, so if you want to put it on your iPod or anything. And there's going to be lots of versions on there that you can use. Maybe what I want to do is I want to show my students a video. If you go to our class website and you go to the link section, there's a link to United Streaming. Here it is. Under Educational Tools and Resources, to an organization called United Streaming, which is also put out by the Discovery Channel. And we in Clark County have access to it, and you can get free access to it by filling out the form that is right here. And I would really like you to go ahead and do that sometime over the next few weeks. So fill out that form and get your own United Streaming account. So I'm going to click on United Streaming. And this is a place where I can go and get images and video if I want. That's going really slow. Really, really slow. Really, really, really slow. KLBX. Yeah, it's through KLBX. It's not coming up now. We'll go back and we'll find it at another time. But once you sign into it, you can say, I want something on the Statue of Liberty. And it'll come up with all these videos that you could watch on the Statue of Liberty. You can download those videos as well. So let's go ahead and close this part. Let's go back here. So let's say that I've downloaded these images, I've downloaded the songs, and now I make a little PowerPoint presentation, which you'll learn soon. And so I put together something so I can teach my students about crossing the Atlantic and about cultural diversity using technology. This lesson plan is available online. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have my students, I'm going to have my students watch a little video on immigration.
When we speak of immigration, we speak of people moving from one country to another. These people.
And after my students watch that video, that's going to be my advance organizer, then I'm going to have them do a little activity. And recognizing that they're diverse learners and I'm not always going to use technology, maybe what I'll do, and you'll get to experience it if you take my social studies class, is I'll put a big piece of tape on the ground and everybody will have to sit in it. And then I'll read them a story and they'll pretend like they're on that ship, and I'll spray water on them, I'll throw bugs on them and mice so that they can feel what it was like to cross the Atlantic. And then once we get across the Atlantic, then we see the Statue of Liberty. And how does it make you feel after you've been in that terrible situation? So the graphic was just downloaded online. Okay, the text, I did a search for Give Me Your Poor, Your Weak, Your Hungry. I didn't know the rest of it. So I found the text. The song, I just pulled offline. I put them all together into a PowerPoint presentation. And does that really help you get a feel after you've been sitting in this dark room getting sprayed with water and you get out and I made you eat really gross food and stuff? Okay. And then at the end, we talk about how it feels to be different. And then they watch another little video.
Yikes, my ears are ringing. Are you going to talk about me yet?
Mm-hmm. thing. And that is how I might choose to utilize the technology tools that are available to teach, go back, to teach appropriate learning. I'm using appropriate learning opportunities. It's right for that age group. I use technology-enhanced instructional strategies. They got to hear it. They got to see it. They didn't actually use the technology that time. We'll have other times when I'll teach you how they can do that. And it supported that they had diverse needs. It recognized, especially because we were dealing with cultural issues like immigration, my students who are immigrants to the United States could feel more comfortable. There was sound for those students who can't read the words. There was reading for those students who might be hearing impaired. There were visuals for the students who don't really get it in an auditory format. There was also that there was the hearing as well. So I'm really trying to get every modality that I can. I also taught them, I didn't teach them so much about different cultures, but I did show them that people came from different places to the United States and how it felt when they arrived here and how we all became one nation. Okay, so today, what we did is we started off with the opening and then I taught you how to use